You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, and 96.5 FM, WISS, which is where you'll hear your Milwaukee Brewers tonight taking on the Kansas City Royals again. Trying to get one in the
fingers crossed.
What a tough start.
I know.
We're starting Brewers history. In history.
Yeah, one of the worst.
Yeah, just with the amount of runs they're giving up. Just crazy.
Yeah.
But they're turning around tonight. Trust me on that. We're here with DeLorean Walls. Okay. It's still the greatest name of all time.
We do. We were talking about that this morning, DeLorean. That is, you got a cool name.
Greatest name ever.
Well, I have to give honor to my grandmother. I was named after her. Her name is Dolores. So.
Oh, okay. Nice. Right. Very nice. Yes, so. And where's she from?
She's actually from South Alabama.
Nice.
And by way of Waukegan, Illinois, but she passed away right before I was born, so that's when.
Also, that's where I got my name. If it had been a girl, you would have been Dolores. Boy,
actually,
DeLorean.
They thought I was a girl, to be honest with you.
All right.
They said, we don't want to get into that.
Hey.
Okay. Not going there.
Boy named Sue. All right.
That's well. It.
Actually, what song is South Alabama mentioned in?
Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
That's
no.
what I was going to say. Mm-mm.
But we talk about South Alabama, no. especially Marshall Shoals. Go ahead.
South Alabama, come a country boy. Said he's looking for a man named Jim. I am a pool shooting boy by the name of Willie McCoy, but back home they call me Slim.
I mean, I love that song. I never
looking for the
that.
King of 42nd City, driving a rock top Cadillac.
This is why I love
well,
the show.
Well, he took all my money, and it may sound funny, but I come to get my money back.
Well, thanks for coming in, DeLorean.
That's okay. Yeah, okay.
Thank you for having me.
Best luck with your project. Okay, coming up next, we've got
DeLorean. This is great what you're doing. I work at the new community shelter, homeless shelter, and you know the people who work there, and I think everyone kind of knows that the basic needs have to be met first before you can start making decisions, right?
Yes.
Safe shelter and then food. And John's been over there. He's served meals. Todd's served meals over there. And
well, okay. No, we're going to correct that. I've eaten meals. I haven't served. They make the greatest catfish you'll ever taste in your lifetime.
Well, I can't wait to go
in
try.
In your lifetime.
Yes. We serve good nutritious meals.
Of course.
They need that.
And nutritious John, and delicious.
It is good. But you've leaned into this food insecurities, and it's an issue, and it's an important thing.
Yes.
So tell us what you're all working on. Tomorrow is the Legislative Advocacy Day down in Madison.
Yes.
I just want to remind our listeners that today is voting day, right?
Yes,
I mean, the polls opened up 9 minutes ago, so get out there and vote because we need good leadership that's connected with our communities. And so get out there and vote. But tell me about what you're doing at St. Norbert. Tell me about the drive that you have going on, and tell me about tomorrow.
This is your passion.
It is.
So
it is.
It is.
You've got
you know,
the floor,
first,
my friend.
First, giving honor to God, who's ahead of my life. I've just been very fortunate to be part of the Food Leadership Lab with Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin Division. They picked up a campaign that I put together that was stating the psychological distress amongst men's mental health dealing with food insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
It came to me because I remember being that man who didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. I remember being that man having to eat noodles 3-4 times a week. So
I remember a Packer player telling me he grew up, it was a treat if they had, he's from Alabama, to be honest with you. It was a treat if they had milk for their cornflakes because sometimes they would just use water.
Man, I remember the boxes that they used to send out to our family that had the powdered milk and a block cheese and everything in it. So, you know, growing up, I've always loved food. I was not a great chef like, you know, Chef Ace Champion or Chris Manglis over there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like that. But I've always had a passion for wanting to see people eat because I know what it's like to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, after going through the Food Leadership Lab, after the things they seen us do in the community, like you say, you know, my group, Brothers Helping Brothers of Wisconsin, we help Served food over at the Micah Center mm-hmm. a few times. We also helped serve a hygiene and coat drive. Shout out to John Zeski over that at First and Goal. We also had a lot of people help donate to us during this time. We call them Save a Lot Joe. Myers helped out. Hy-Vee helped out, as well as you know, the Clark Family Foundation, mm-hmm. and who always helps out every time that I decide to serve food is the Cozy Corner in Appleton. You know, mm-hmm. Philip Bennett, he always helps me out. But
I have to kind of back up a little bit and not to get too personal with you. But, you know, it's like when we were talking with Carrie, one of the reasons Jim and myself and Todd, we all lost somebody to Alzheimer's. So mm-hmm. there's a certain spark that, you know, mm-hmm. we want to help them. But for yourself, having been in that situation, can you talk about how that has affected you and what has led to you then making sure other people, I'm not going to say you're making sure they're mm-hmm. not in your situation, because they are in your situation, but you're giving them a hand that mm-hmm. you could have really used back then. Could you tell about the personal aspect of why you're doing this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I was telling Todd there, I remember living on the Capitol Drive here in Green Bay with my three older brothers and my mother in one bedroom apartment.
Wow.
And we had to scrape up funds to see how we were going to eat, four adults in a house. And I remember a time that, you know, we all qualified for the SNAP program. So I said, you know what, let's put our SNAP benefits together and why don't we go grocery shopping? Went over there to Meijer, bought a few packets of leg thighs, and then we start cooking. And I said, let's barbecue. So I started barbecuing this, you know, the whole community started coming together doing it. I said, man, this is what God is trying to lead me to do. So, you know, those personal experiences keeps me humble on a day-to-day basis, because there's a lot of people out there that's suffering from food insecurities. If we, everybody knows the stats, and Brown County alone is 22.8%. However, lowered food insecurities at 31.7%.
One out of three.
That's crazy. It's one amazing. Out of three people. One out of three people.
It's incredible. People don't real. I mean, no, we talk about the great, we're titled. Man, I mean, you see it every day, Jim. There's warts in our community just like mm-hmm. every other town. Yeah.
And I think that some people don't see it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know.
It takes somebody like you to bring it to the
honestly,
surface.
Honestly, I don't think people don't see it. I think it's delusion that they don't want to see it. Because if we have been named the number one safest place to live, mm-hmm. physically, if we've been named a couple years ago the number one place to relocate, mm-hmm. physically, we almost are forgetting about the psychological aspect of things that makes us safe. And we talk about the basic needs of a person. A lot of times that I've talked to people, our basic needs have not been met. And food insecurities is one of them. Then when you see the connection between the food insecurities and according to all the studies and according to even the Food and Drug Administration, there's a higher rate of depression, anxiety, and mental health distress with variants of suicidal thoughts when people suffer from food insecurities.
Hmm. It's so, a basic need. You got
it. Yeah. So it makes you think. I was telling someone yesterday, it makes you think with a state that's full of agriculture. I could say our city, for example, look what's right across the street from us. It's one of the number one cheese operators, which is Stryber. Then we got JBS Foods. We have all these entities that's right here in Green Bay, but we still suffer from food insecurities.
Why?
That's the question I'm going to ask.
Okay.
That's the question I'm going to go to Madison to have
okay.
have discussion about. You know, we all can assume, we all can.
Because it's not, it's not like, okay, we're talking with Carrie here about Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Who knows if there's going to be a cure? No, nobody knows. They're mm-hmm. making progress towards treating and whatever, yes. whatever. But your thing here, there could be a cure. You can feed people. You can mm-hmm. make all this food accessible. There is a way of solving, or at least really getting a handle on this problem. How do we do that?
We know the solution. We have the prescription. It's food.
We do.
And it's not a supply problem either.
No, it's not.
It's a distribution problem.
That's it right there. You know, one of my good friends, John Zane, he reached out to me from, he's a director of government affairs with Feeding America Eastern Division. He said, in Green Bay, we have an opportunity to deliver 47 boxes to the elderly community. I said, 47? He said, no, right, only 47. Because it's the place that was distributing those boxes didn't want to do it anymore. So I reached out to Ahmad Rivera. He sent some things up with them. And all the elderly that's in our community, we only are giving out 47 boxes.
Wow.
Just think about that. We can walk around the corner and count 50 elderly on our hand,
right?
You know, right at that place there. So, you know, I think the thing is that with some of these programmings and some of the focus points have to go back into being proactive and not reactive, because we can solve.
Well, that's kind of like what I mentioned to Carrie. I'm impressed with her because I've dealt with a million different people in nonprofits and whatever. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't just sit back and wait for people to come to help her.
No.
She's out there face to face.
Yes. Yes.
Taking care of her thing. And you're exactly the same way.
Yes. And, you know, I have to be honest, you know, just being around a great team of people who share the same passion, you know, shout out to all the Food Leadership Lab graduates that graduated December 7th. With a lot of different things that we're connecting in April, I want, if it's possible, you know, Mayor, you can help me out with this, but I would like to have April to be Food Advocacy Month.
Yeah.
Because if we did that in just our community alone, we can discuss about, you know what? What about the summertime when the kids get out of school? It's only going to cost us $18,000 to $19,000 to give them breakfast, lunch, and a snack to take home. That's for every kid in Brown County. Those are simple, the numbers are. Or let's talk about, you know, families that may need to understand what food insecurity is actually is, and how to overcome those challenges. So, you know, those.
If you had a magic wand, what would you do?
Set up every week on each busy block, say Washington and Broadway, we have a community dinner, and everybody who wants to come sit down and dwell, we can sit down and eat and have a discussion. Because that right there, if everybody came together breaking bread to see that it's an issue, I think we'll get more solutions.
I like that. And then hopefully there would be something they could take home too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Canned things or things that aren't perishable.
That doesn't sound impossible.
That's not putting a man on the moon.
Yeah. No.
All right. We're going to stick around. I guess like 1 minute break. DeLorean Walls. We were talking about your big food drive, the Packers Superfan food drive.
Mm-hmm.
This is really important stuff that you're bringing out here.
Talk that St. Norbert thing, too. I want to talk about that.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
When you see a ship go sailing, when you feel your heart is breaking, hold on tight to your dream. Sail on time.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here with DeLorean Walls, Packers Superfan Food Drive. And again, during the break, I didn't want to correct you, but when you were talking about you'd get cheese when you were a kid, the free cheese. Okay.
Yes.
And my folks, I had my Uncle Nashel used to get the free cheese, okay? And to give it to my folks, they would send it to me because that made the greatest grilled cheese sandwiches ever.
Mm-hmm.
Was that government cheese, as we called it.
But I just don't discount government cheese because that came from...
Shriver Food. Shout out to Shriver Food.
I would give anything if I could buy that cheese right now.
There's some pretty good government stuff out there. But we're talking at the break. There's a lot to do. And one of the problems, and I don't know how you're going to address it, this is a bigger challenge, is people are siloed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid if they work together, they're going to lose some of their funding. And the government has got to come up with an incentive to work together. You know, you get X amount of dollars, but if you work together, you'll get $1.25 yes. or something.
That's actually why I wanted to start a organization called the Color Collaborative, spelled C-O-L, capital O, capital U, capital R. So it's our collaboration.
Okay.
Oh.
You know,
like
and
it.
So
you like that.
I think if we all come together in conjunction to these things that need to be addressed, I think we can get more of things done instead of trying to isolate them
right.
as individuals. So.
Okay, you guys both totally completely agreed on something else during the break about it's not a supply, it's a distribution.
Mm-hmm.
How do we attack that?
I think with training.
Okay.
We talk about there are so many great pantries that's out here that are receiving the food. I think if we start a training type operative, who brought us up? Steve Schneider down at the Bell and Building. He brought us up. He said, you know, maybe we should have
good friend of yours.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we should have a training day that everybody can come in and really see what it takes to receive this food, also get this food out, and also get people comfortable enough to come and receive it. Because that's one of the things that I've noticed on all levels, whether it's adolescent, adulthood, you know, over, you know, middle age and adulthood, is this sometimes they don't know that this is something that's available for them.
Right.
And things like that. So,
you know, who's at somebody's house every day?
Hmm.
The U.S. Post Office.
Yep. Yeah.
And that needs tweaking.
Hmm.
And I don't know, but I mean, they're talking about them doing the census. There's just, you know, we duplicate effort all the time in this country.
Yes.
And there's something else. I'm not saying that's the answer, but there's other things that we can do and utilize. There's, I don't know, we'll talk about it, break. I got some other ideas on that.
Yes.
But we have to get the food to the people.
Yes, yes, and, we do.
And people, like I said, Meals on Wheels, I think they got that model down.
That's a perfect organization.
It is. And they do a great job in Appleton. I know that because the timing's there. They're all screened. They're safe people that deliver it. Mm-hmm. And it's just great.
See, hey, with that being stated, before we go on to the next, just imagine the Uber and Lyft drivers
right.
have all been screened. That could, you know what? Here, you can actually get an extra incentive where we talk about if you go deliver these
Ten
food.
Bucks,
to the, there we
right.
go.
Uber drivers.
A, you know, yeah, there we go. So
great
okay,
idea.
Tell me about St. Norbert, and then I just want to circle back to tomorrow's legislative day.
So on the 15th of April, we're doing a roundtable discussion about the food insecurities amongst college students. St. Norbert's and powered by the Young Men's Group of Men of Distinction over there with Victoria McNeil. Shout out to all those individuals, Aaron, Joe Webb. Everybody that we're going to sit down and have a discussion, because believe it or not, even in college, you know, we all was there. They suffer from food insecurities more than we realize, mm-hmm. like 53.9% of the kids, and they have a pantry. However, it's not filled with sufficient things. So this is why we're going to on the 23rd of April over at First and Go by way of a lot of the super fans like the Packer DeLorean, Senior Cheesehead, Wyatt, Lady Lambo, you know, Pac-Man, you got all these, the Grinch, you got all these super fans. We are hoping on that day to raise over 1,000 pounds of food to give away to St. Norbert's Food Pantry. And then I want to do this every year in April for the whole month. That way, every college in Green Bay, whether it's UW, Wisconsin, Green Bay, NWTC, or St. Norbert's will receive donations to their food pantries.
Great.
And so that's what we're going to achieve. I believe in faith.
Yeah,
and I know if we all come together, we're going to achieve it. So,
all right. How do we get in contact with you? Do you have a website or something? Or
I'll give you my number. You can follow me on Facebook, message me on Facebook.
Okay.
Email me.
All right, we'll put that on.
Yes.
Have Todd put that on here. And tell me just a little bit more on tomorrow, the Advocacy Day in Madison.
Yes. Yeah, so, it's the first time ever that the Food Leaderships Lab is going to be able to go advocate down in Madison to discuss the $87 billion and how should they spend it. What baffled me when I got that email, it says that a lot of the constituents in Madison does not believe hunger is an issue.
So, you know what? What are they? How can they miss that, right? I mean, drive around.
Yeah. You know, it's very
easy. Go to the schools. Talk to the counselors.
It's very easy to miss when you're not looking for it. You know, we talk about schools. We talked early in a conversation about the elementary. I get kind of emotional when I talk about that, especially with the kids when having food. I was talking to a teacher the other day ago. Most children come to school because they can get a breakfast and a lunch. Right. Then if a kid gets suspended, they don't get that. Or on a spring break, on a summer break, they don't receive that food. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, not kind of, but it's a safe haven to them. And the ones who don't have the adequate resources of food security, you know, they suffer from a lot of things that I mentioned, depression, anxiety, anger, suicidal thoughts. So, you know, there's a solution to the equation. We just got to work our way backwards. We know the answers. We do know the answers. So we just got to fill in the veritives of what we need to do. So,
all right, give it one more time. Who, what, when, what you're doing here.
So April 15th, we're going to have a roundtable at St. Norbert's to discuss the food insecurities amongst college students. And April 23rd, we're going to be over at First and Goal. Shout out to John Zeski and the whole crew for a Packer Superfan food drive. If you come in and bring a canned good or anything like that, you qualify for certain prizes. And we're hoping to raise over 1,000 pounds of food to give away to St. Norbert's food pantry.
And once again, that's located at 2148 University Avenue in Green Bay.
First and Goal. Yes.
First and Goal.
First and Goal.
2148 University Avenue, Green Bay. Coming up on the 23rd, we're going to keep promoting this right up until the day it happens.
Yes, I appreciate
it. DeLorean, it's wonderful what you do for our community.
God. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. It's great having you here, bud. You got an open door every time you want to come in, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. We're going to set a quick break. We come back. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Northeast Wisconsin stopping by, talking about Big Draft 25. Back after this.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. So great having DeLorean Walls here, Packer Superfan Food Drive, and some other stuff they got going on. We're going to keep promoting them. Mind-boggling where he said 30% of the people had food insecurities in Green Bay and Broward County.
And I know that we've had the Oshkosh Food Pantry on as well, and that is one in three as well down there.
Is that amazing?
It's scary.
And you read about these awards, and yeah, well deserved, but boy,
there's some shadowy things that go, and we got to help take care of it. We're gonna do that right now with Big Brothers Big Sisters. We've got Sarah Kubiak and Greta Cher Gaworik.
You think she looks like Cher?
Yeah, the young Cher.
Okay,
maybe don't
a little,
you?
Maybe a little bit, Greta.
Who is it? There's somebody else too. Who do you get? Greta.
I really don't get anyone.
You don't get anyone.
No, just get.
Just be you, Greta.
Right.
We like you as you are.
All right. Just throwing it out there. What was your favorite Cher song?
She doesn't even know who Cher
is. Okay. All right.
Jeez. Let her alone. That's a cool name you got.
Mine is Gypsies, Greta. Tramps, and Thieves. Remember that one?
No.
72? 1972?
She was... No. She's... Were you born in 2000?
2001.
Okay. So...
That's why they call them the oldies. Classics. Whatever.
The ancients. So,
wow.
You guys
you
are
hire
with...
your people, don't you? What do you
I know.
Do? Sarah, come on.
I know.
All right. Big Brothers.
They got to know history.
Absolutely. Right. We try to teach them.
All right.
Big Brothers.
Now, I didn't know. Okay. I just learned something about you. You were a big brother.
I was. It was
you
great.
Never mentioned it. Did you know that time?
I did not know that.
I'm a very humble person. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's cool.
It was great.
I mean, especially you had three kids to raise on your own, or not on your own, but I mean you and Don. But I mean, that's still cool.
It was great. I enjoyed that. And he needed a big brother, too. I mean, I just want to say that you guys do a good job of matching people. And it was great. So we got together often. And I just remember one of the first times we were going to the farmer's market, right, mm-hmm. on Broadway. And his handshake was very weak. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, Aiden, come here.
Like no confidence type thing. Yeah.
I said, look, you're going to shake a lot of hands tonight because we're going to meet people and learn how to shake hands and then
that's
up and
cool.
down. And, you know, just met cops and, you know, everybody.
Absolutely.
This is my
absolutely
younger brother. So that was fun. And we went. A lot of ribbon cuttings, you know, restaurants, mm-hmm. Habitat Homes, and just kind of hung out with him for 3 years. It was fun. And went to his band concerts. And
I think that's very cool.
So anyway, there's a lot of cool things you can do, and it's great for the little, but it's great for me, it was fun. And you hear the perspective, and it's a little different, seventh grader, eighth grader, that kind of stuff. So anyway.
Very cool.
But there's a need, and it's, I don't.
Well, you shocked me with what you said during the break.
So
the waiting list.
Yes.
There's a waiting list for, the qualifications aren't difficult. I mean, so what are you looking for in terms of, tell the listeners how many people are littles. Do you call them littles?
Yes, we do.
Okay, you do. So men and boys and girls, right?
Yes.
Are looking for a big brother, big sister.
Yes.
And how many people are waiting for that?
So I would say on an average day, we have about 100 on the waiting list. Wow. Boys and girls.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a big brother, big sister.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and definitely we always, always, always need men. We're very excited when men walk in the door because we have always more boys than girls that are waiting.
Why is that?
I am not totally sure. Okay. I mean, I have my suspicions, but nothing founded. I think we just see a lot of boys that come in. Maybe from single parent homes that are, you know, just could use a father figure or someone in their life to kind of teach them the, you know, the fishing and the, that kind of stuff and the handshakes and things. So,
yeah. And they have a sense of humor. I mean, I think a big should have a sense of humor because these are kids, right? And we are all 12, 13, 14 at one time, you know, and, and it's not like you have to spend money. They just want to hang out.
Correct.
And tell me about the time commitment that you kind of look for when someone comes in to see you about being a big brother.
Sure. I'd say, I mean, we all kind of train our volunteers a little differently, but I strongly recommend people to try to get in the habit of seeing their little once a week for maybe 2 hours.
Right.
It can vary. I mean, we have some bigs that come in and they're like, all I can really give is every other week or, you know, twice a month. So our general rule is like 2 to 4 times a month. I just find that it's better to start people getting in the habit of once a week if possible. And then, you know, if you have to miss a week or if the kiddo could be sick too. So, you know, at the end of the day, it probably shakes out about 3 times a month.
And Greta, you coordinate, you have a lot of suggestions for these events as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I help out. We have a lot of different events. We just went to a Blizzard game this past Friday,
right.
And we really try to have it low or no cost. And we have a lot of different, we have arts and crafts, different events, go to baseball games, a lot of different, like appeal to a lot of different interests, to really interest the bigs and littles and really have a good time together.
And when it comes to the match, you kind of do a little bit of background on both, that there is a little bit of a match, right?
Mm-hmm.
John and I are way different people. Like he would be more into the sports, fishing, hunting. That's like not my thing.
And we do that kind of stuff. We do an interview. Like when you were enrolled, we would do an extensive interview with you, find out your interests and your background, how you grew up,
right?
The things that you like to do. I mean, those are huge. Making the best match is most important, as opposed to just the quantity of matches. We'd rather have high quality matches that last longer.
And you're pretty good about if it's not working, be honest about it.
Right. Absolutely. And we stay in touch with our bigs.
Right. You don't get mad about it. You're parents. Just like, okay, we'll make a change.
Then how is it till they're 18 or what's the, I don't want to say the lifespan of it, but I mean, what's the, in general, when you sign up for this, what do you do? Can I ask you that one, Greta? Because I'm not going to ask you you're born in 2001 or whatever. But what I'm saying is, do you get young people? I mean, like Jim and I are two old guys who raised our families and, it could seem, but somebody like your age, do you get people your age doing it?
Yeah, we definitely do have some. I'd say we have a wide variety of different ages.
For sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because really, I was in 18. Your mind when you say that, you think of somebody like you or me 10 years ago type of thing. But I think it's cool that young people would get involved with something like this.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a preference, right? I mean, it's not big grandpas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really, right. John, you're making a good point. But,
it's true. But I mean, like Todd would be a perfect age for a big brother. Wouldn't he?
They're all perfect age.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that so
sweet? Wow. It really is true, though. Because our kids, when we interview the kids, they all have preferences. And they'll, we ask them that stuff, too. What, how old? What does your big look like? Your ideal big? What do they look like? What do they like to do? Who are they? Do they have a good sense of humor? Are they active? You'd be surprised at the answers kids give. Sometimes, a lot of them definitely steer towards, I want someone young and hip and they're close to the trends. But I think that, some of them every once in a while are like, well, I don't care if they can be older, a little more low key. I mean, so honestly, you'd be surprised at the answers we get.
Okay.
So, and if they say they, I want someone to help me with my homework with math, that would disqualify you, John.
Oh, yeah, my God. Hey, unless it's about the NFL or a war, I can't help them in any way, shape, or form. Those are the only things I know.
You'd be surprised how many big say that in the interview.
Really?
I just know math, please. Thank you. If they ask for, am I going to be worried about math? Are they going to ask me about math? No, no math.
But like in the summary, you'd bring them in for this show. They just sit and watch you work. It's just cool stuff. You don't have to really go out of your life that much. I mean, like I said, it was just a lot of farmers markets and just, you know, you're going to go have a hamburger, just bring them along. You know what I mean?
I'd say most of the time they really just want your attention.
Right.
They just want to hang out with you. I mean, we have bigs who just take them out like to run errands and hang out with
just
them.
Just to hang, huh?
You right. Know?
That's cool.
So you have this event, Big Draft 25. Tell me, Greta, what's that about?
Yeah, so Big Brothers Big Sisters of America has a partnership with the NFL Inspired Change Initiative. So agencies throughout the United States have a big draft campaign. So as NFL teams draft its next class of star players, Big Brothers Big Sisters is drafting its next class of mentors.
Oh.
So with the draft coming to Green Bay, we wanted to do kind of a bigger campaign statewide. So we teamed up with all agencies in Wisconsin, and we actually have our spokesperson, who is Mark Murphy, president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. And we are trying to recruit 700 mentors statewide. And at a local level in Northeast Wisconsin, we're looking to recruit 100 mentors by the end of April. So April 26th, the last day of the NFL draft. Right now, we're at 68 in Northeast Wisconsin. So we're hoping to this next month that we can get to our goal or even exceed it, obviously.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, you're doing
that's
fine.
That's 32 away, right?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
John, you can do math.
I know.
What are we talking about?
I could be a big.
You could. You're in.
Absolutely. Don't tell about this tattoo I had removed from my face.
No,
the teardrop.
I won't. Hopefully it'll be healed by the time.
I know, right?
Get away.
Yeah.
And how do they go about this? They call the interview. Tell me about the process.
Yeah. I mean, we do have our statewide website, which is wisconsinbbbs.org. You would just enter your zip code and then enter some information, and then we'll have a program staff that would reach out to you.
What are you asking in the interview type things? You know, just for somebody, there might be some guys listening. It's like, wow, I could, you know, I mean, I know some guys off the top of my head that are big listeners to the show. They'd be perfect for this.
They would be perfect.
Yeah. But I think sometimes people might get a little bit intimidated by the interview process or something. So can you guys just walk us through that?
Yeah, and really, it's really just getting to know you. I mean, we call it an interview, which I think is a little misleading because it seems like it's some kind of job interview. But
you just get nervous when you hear that term interview, don't you?
You do.
I mean, yeah.
And it's really just getting to know you. I mean, because that's the way that we make the best match, is by getting to know you and who you are. So really, like I said, your background and where you grew up, how you grew up, you know, and some of those things that people have been through in their lives, whether their parents were divorced at a young age or maybe they were abused themselves as a child or whatever they've been through, those things are important for us to know. And certainly we don't force anyone to share anything, but we're hoping that people will open up during that process because that will help us to determine maybe who is a better fit.
Do you remember did you go through an interview? I mean, what was...
Yeah, I don't really remember it. No. I think it was just... I think they come over to my house. They come over to your house, right? And kind of just...
We do a home visit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a home visit. Yep. So they came through to my house because I don't know if Aiden was over there. It must have been for... I don't know. It was nothing. I mean, we just... And I really, the Greta U that came over, I just really liked them as well. I think that makes a difference how nice they were and like, this is great. And it wasn't a big deal. And then...
Yeah.
I didn't even know the first time we met. I think it was, we went to the farmer's market. But anyway, it was just very cool. I just enjoyed it. And it was, like you said, it was about like every 2 weeks. A lot of times it was Saturdays, but sometimes it was, you know, Thursday nights or whenever.
Is it the parents generally that contact you about their child?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it, I mean, as far as like trying to hook somebody up with somebody, is that do you interview the parent too as well to try to, because I don't know a lot about this, but I'd like to know more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we interview the parent and the child separately.
Okay.
So that we can kind of get, again, the same type of, we call it an interview, but it's really just us getting to know the family situation.
And then do you have, like your 68 people right now that you've got that pool. Do you guys go back then and say, hey, you know who would be good for this person?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
Oh, is that how you do? Okay.
Yep. In fact, that's what I'm doing when I go back to the office. We're going to have, we meet together, program staff meets together, and we discuss the people we have in the queue and who needs to get matched and find the best match.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You actually would be a good Big Brother, John.
I would like to.
I think you should do it.
I really would.
You would. You'd be funny, and they would, some kid that likes sports that,
they could call you Pops. I think that'd be a great, nickname, right? Yo, Pops, hey, how's it going this week?
Hey, kid, you ever call me Pops again?
Get that teardrop back.
But really, they love the sense of humor. They would love that.
They do. I will say that maybe they didn't have that at home as much. Maybe it was a little more stressful, whereas I think, you know, we can, it's fun.
I think it's cool.
And there's so many just little things. I don't know, cherry picking, apple picking, just it doesn't cost anything.
Have these kids suffered enough?
Listen, they love to do it. Some of these kids, really, I call them like the blank slate kids. They have done anything.
I'm out.
Really?
Thanks, Sarah. All
right. There's no kid. I'm not even joking.
For some reason, he thinks that's the greatest activity in America is cherry picking.
And watching Liberace videos.
Yeah, no, Liberace.
I would add to that.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, it's.
I'd take them fishing, take them to Packer game.
Right.
Yes. Whatever.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
yes, and we get lots of donations of tickets, too. Like people generously donate.
That is true.
Packer tickets, all kinds of Blizzard tickets, and you name it.
Then you have that steak and burger event, right? There's, I think you do. And
are you talking about the upcoming, Supper Club?
Yes. You have
big
events.
Night out.
I'm just saying there's a big night out that I just want to say it's not all just you and them. There's events. That was my point. Yes. So anyway, I went to some of it.
Well, you keep letting us know what we can do for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, you can be a big...
I'm going to look into it.
Okay.
I'm dead serious.
Cool. Yeah. This is awesome.
All right.
You and Todd.
Greta and Sarah, thank you both so much for being here. Brothers, big sisters of Northeast Wisconsin. We got to get 32 more people signed up
by
the 26th.
It's easy.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it through this show. We're going to get 5.
Okay.
Through our show.
Okay, guys, listen.
Guaranteed.
All right.
Perfect.
Or we'll pay you $1 million.
Oh, God.
Well, again, the address. BB.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by.
Hey, welcome back. Mido the Mayor here. Getting close to wrapping up, but a good-looking Tuesday morning.
That's fun.
Yeah, Greta and Sarah, I would actually look into doing that, being a big brother.
You'd be a good one, I'm telling you.
Actually, you know who would be a really good one? Would be Dom.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Dom would be great at that.
Okay, Dom, sign up.
Dom, you're going to be a big brother, just so you know.
And there's big sisters, too.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, did you try Murphy?
I did not yet.
Try
again.
Him. Let's try him.
All right.
Try him. We got to talk about his greatest
April Fool's joke.
April Fool's jokes he did on the air that were legendary.
Yeah.
And if he's golfing, leave him a message that is laced with expletives. Todd, do that for me. Okay?
This is a so it's election day, right? And I was elected on April Fool's, which is a weird day to be elected.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Well, it's always the first Tuesday.
You know, it's funny. Last night when I was driving around, I forget where I went, and there's lots of those little signs, polling place.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they've really, I don't remember that before, but they're like all over town now letting people know where all the polling places are.
Yeah. And it's such low voter turnout today. But whatever. I go to the water department. But yeah, get that going at 9 o'clock. It's on my calendar.
Okay.
So anyway, yes, that's today. Big day.
All right.
Anyway. This was fun. Todd, this was a great lineup. I just love these
community
organizations.
Type stuff, yeah.
Well, they don't
everybody
get
helping.
They work. I mean, you can just, that guy teared up, right?
Yeah.
They work so hard.
Valorian.
And they just don't get the exposure that they deserve, right? And I understand there's a lot of good stuff, but you look at the front page of the paper today, you know, it's, you know, Elon Musk and it's, you know, the green and gold this and they can come on here and talk to people. And I think they're comfortable and I think we're doing our job by giving them that venue to talk
Absolutely.
About walk to end Alzheimer's and
well, it's all important things. I mean, it really and truly is. I mean, that's what makes our community so cool is that there are people willing to get out there and help other people.
And they're dedicated.
I thought it was interesting though. Like DeLorean said, do people just not want to see it? Do we bury our heads in our sand so much and just worry about how does this affect me?
That's a great point.
The problem is that, and we've talked about this. You're a couple of paychecks away from being in some of these situations.
No question.
And at some point, the does it affect me will affect you or could affect you. So,
and until it does.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like,
why are we not more empathic?
Right.
Why isn't there more empathy in our communities? We do, because we have great organizations and a lot of people donate a lot of money and time, right? But there's more we could do. There's no reason for our hunger and homelessness.
And 30%, that's a lot. And I mean, it's not like 3%.
No.
30%. That's one out of three. I mean, come on, that's a lot. And on anything, so.
I still want to know. I still haven't gotten a complete answer. DeLorean kind of touched on it a little bit. But what do grocery stores do? Like, if you walk through their deli and it's 10 minutes for closing time and you got shrimp sitting there on ice, what happens to that? Or the prime rib even, you got stuff sitting on. Where does that go?
Yeah, and I think he kind of said, you know, they can't give it to you, but boy, I tell you, I'd sign a waiver.
Oh, man, something.
And having worked in the grocery industry, that was a big thing.
Oh,
like,
man.
before we did anything with the food, I think we ended up teaming up with Feeding America or something like that. But we would have steaks that were just fine, but they were outside the window of what the company wanted.
Right.
And that would all get dumped out.
Wow. Oh,
that just makes me sick. I mean, people stop by the shelter and, you know, parties, right? Retirement parties and funerals, and they drop off.
Right.
And I'm so glad they do that as opposed to throwing it out.
You know? Dom's been there to your place. He's brought in stuff.
It's great that, because, you know, it doesn't get wasted. I'll tell you that.
Right.
And the other thing that.
There's no rationale. If that's true, if one out of three people have hunger issues in our area and that stuff gets thrown in the garbage, then something needs to be done. Yeah. I'm sorry. It just needs to be done.
Yeah. It does. But there are some good programs out there. I want to say, I think Paul's Pantry is good, but you have to get there. And that's one of the issues. Yeah. But I will say that, and I want to get that company on here from Appleton, that Meals on Wheels, that is an awesome program. They do thousands of meals between 11 and 2. You wouldn't believe how organized that, and it's, the food's hot, and it's.
Does your mom get them?
Yeah. And I don't know. It's great, and the people are so friendly, and I think they're vetted, right? They come into your house or your apartment, but.
I remember talking to your mom that night of the one thing. I said, "How's that they're going?" She says, "Their chop suey is so much better than Jimmy makes."
No,
she told me that.
Jimmy's Chinese food is just so spicy.
Mine was too spicy.
It almost tastes like Thai food or something.
Thank you for remembering that. That was spicy. She didn't like
that. I don't know if it was Korean or what he was trying to do.
But they give the whole menu.
Wanted to get that at my will is what he was trying to do.
It's like, for the love of God, the other brothers and sisters make good stuff, and Jim brings me stuff, and I wait until he leaves, and I give it away. I just give it all away.
But it's got the whole menu for the month. It's got all the, you know, four food groups, and it's great. So, and we have that obviously in Green Bay because we have some people at the shelter that work at Meals.
I got to go back to something though about that cheese. That's my favorite cheese of all time was the government cheese.
It's
like richer. It's got to be really fattening.
I mean,
it's just rich.
But it's quality cheese.
It was great quality cheese. I loved it. We used to call it, actually, my folks used to call it Reagan cheese because Reagan started that one.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, there was cheese before Reagan.
Would you make me a grilled cheese sandwich? Some of the government cheese.
One for Bongo, too, right?
Bongo.
Wasn't that the
bedtime for Bonzo?
Bonzo.
Bedtime for Bonzo.
Oh, you want some cheese.
Absolutely. I got that for you.
But yes.
The food is there. The food is there. There's no reason for people to go hungry. The food.
What he was talking about, kids there. In school. I mean,
my
kids
God.
Not
yeah.
having food. Come on.
But what isn't there, though, is the shelter. I mean, we need more housing. We do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
No, that we got to work on. But there's some pretty cool things being kicked around right now for that. So.
We've solved a lot of community problems today.
Where we're getting there.
In 2 hours. In just 2 hours, we've crossed a lot of things off the list. Hey, Brewers on WISS tonight, 6 o'clock game time, taking on the Royals.
All right,
we'll be back in tomorrow morning. Mind of the Mayor.
Get on vote.
See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.